Good afternoon and welcome. It's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian. We're together until 5:30. And on a Friday, we always get up close and personal. We profile people that inspire us. We profile people that we want to just drink out of their cups and out of their wells. And today I'm going to be joined by a phenomenal woman. A woman of substance. She's a mother. She's an activist. She's a Metro FM DJ. Unfortunately, I had to mention that brand. She's a Metro FM DJ. She's got her own show on television, and we'll give details about that. She's an author. She's a mother. She's a wife. She's a motivational speaker. And the list goes on and on. And I'm told to the list, she is an entrepreneur. She's a consultant. She has her own consultancy. And she's just an all-rounder and an all-round amazing person. She's done extraordinary things in an ordinary way, despite what life has thrown her way. And recently she published and she wrote a book, and the book is called You Are Never Alone. And of course, in the show this afternoon, besides celebrating her and getting up close and personal, we're going to be getting into the book and at the same time celebrating her and acknowledging for her contribution to the country and to the people of God. And if you're stuck in traffic, take it easy. Do not speed. Do not disrespect other road users. Take it easy. Tell your friends, Oguti, on Changing Gear this afternoon, we've got a guest. And I'm not going to tell you, Uriki Mang, Mara, trust me, it's going to be worth it. So allow me to be your uninvited friend. Let me take you home. Let me be that person that you prepare your supper with. And we're going to inspire you. We're going to wow you. And we're possibly going to cry. And we're possibly going to laugh. Do not touch that down. It's Radio Veritas, 576 AM, the station that brings you the good news and the good music for a change. It's 17 minutes after the hour 4. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you're at. It's that station that gives you the good news and the good music for a change. And today we bring you good people for a change. Sis Criselda, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you very much. And good afternoon to the listeners as well. I feel so humbled. I was listening to you talking about this person, and I'm thinking, is he still referring to me?
Yeah.
It's all by grace.
I'm starstruck, and I normally don't. And today I am starstruck.
Is that why you asked for aircon to
yes.
be colder? I'm like,
before we even start the conversation, I would like to say you look so gorgeous, even in person. I know you. I've always known that you look beautiful, and you're a beautiful lady, both inside and out. But I feel like I'm sitting and I'm standing on holy ground. And
we also have to mention that I have makeup on for television because I had two interviews prior to this.
I didn't even
I don't
notice.
Look like this every day.
Is it?
I thought you woke up.
I thought you woke up that way. Sis Criselda, thank you very much once again for honoring our invitation, and we're really humbled that you are with us in studio today.
It's a godly pleasure.
Sis Criselda, I've, like I was saying off air, I've followed your work for years and years, and I've been one of your private stalkers in a good way, and I've always been inspired. But this afternoon, I would like us to talk about your book, because it is your book that is inspiring people, that is touching other people's lives, and you open up yourself, you open up things that are so sacred to you and share it with the world. And when I went through your book, I realized that you've gone through a lot in your life, from the abuse as a child, from living with a chronic condition, from raising your own children as a sick as a single mother, from to finding love, from hatred to forgiveness, from being broken to wholeness and healing. And you still emerged at the end of the tunnel as somebody who can still touch people and somebody who can still inspire people. Where did that... How did you make it? How do you not become...
Bitter
and angry.
Look, when... And you mentioned the operative word being through. I've gone through those things. And there comes a time in your life where you see the light, you connect to the light, you find the light, and the light finds you. You can't keep quiet. It's like ubizo. It's like, you know, when you found Jesus, it's difficult to keep Jesus to yourself. When
you can't
drink
hide him.
Jesus juice, it's difficult to keep it to yourself. So you have that thing that just says share with more people. And I actually realized and recognized that in all these painful journeys that you describe, I simply just showed up and God kept on showing off. So there was no way I could just keep it to myself, because I would like anybody that connects to Criselda's story to know whatever it is that you go through, allow yourself to go through. Many of us, unfortunately, we stay there and pack up, build double stories in our challenges and not allow ourselves to go through.
Take me to that day when you were at the doctor's office and he diagnosed you with this chronic condition that has HIV.
What was
going through your mind?
It was actually at work. I received this call. I'm 7 months pregnant at the time. Doctor says I've got good news and bad news. Good news is that all your other tests are perfectly normal. You and the baby are doing so well. It's actually phenomenal. And I'm like, they praise Jesus. I mean, what could be wrong when you say good and bad? And then he says, unfortunately, to quote him, he said, unfortunately, you have AIDS. And this is why I've developed so much passion in correcting even the language that is used when we talk about HIV. Absolutely. Because all I could hear when he said that is that I'm dying now. This person is speaking with authority. He is a medical doctor, and he's telling me, a lay person, that you are going to die. That's all I could hear. And I thank God every day that, you know, on that day I decided. Then he says, come to my rooms, let's talk about your options. And then he tells me what my options are. We'll give you medication. The first question I had for my doctor was how long I had to live. And he says, 2 years max, because you discovered early, lucky for you. And then I wanted to know about the 7 month pregnancy. He says, you know how these AIDS people are like, it might last for 6 months. So I would do you a favor and abort on your behalf. And I'm thinking 7 months is life, irrespective of how many months. I mean, who am I to decide on behalf of this seed that God has allowed in my womb that you're not going to live? And went by faith, connected to what I needed to do as a responsible mother, took nevirapine, which is given 6 weeks before delivering, and gave birth to a beautiful baby daughter who's HIV free. And we soon to celebrate matric dance and all that jazz. And that makes it's almost two decades later. I stand in you know, not with arrogance, but with me saying it's all by grace.
Yes.
And I'm glad that at the time when doctor said you have 2 years to live and deciding on when it was going to be over for me, I went back and consulted. Like any brand car that you drive, if it breaks down on you, the best people to fix it are the manufacturers.
You don't take
it to a scrapyard, they will put a scrap part. So I went to the creator and said, I'm confused. You said, you know, if I come to you, you promised me things. I mean, there are more than 3,000 promises in the Bible of a life that is worth living once you say Abba Father, once you say Jesus. Why am I going through all this?
Criselda, you then went to your religious leader.
Yeah.
And that is the part that struck me.
Yeah.
The attitude he had towards and the response he had towards your plight at that time and your circumstances, which I would say is not usually the default position of many of us. We will try and pray that that blood pressure out of you, or that HIV out of you, and the flu out of you, and all that kind of thing. Not only pray it out, but we'll try and actually say, you see, it was because of X and Y, and you know, now Unkulunkulu is punishing you. For me, that was, I was so humbled, and for me, that was one of the lessons realizes that when people are their weakest to some extent, we can either break them further.
Absolutely.
Or build them to actually be open to the different windows that are
in. And thank you for bringing that to light, because indeed, as Abafundisi, there's a greater role in building or breaking society. I mean, there I was so confused and angry. And I mean, I remember on the day I was planning that I'm going to get home, cook his best meal. I know the key coordinates for our safe. I'm going to take out the gun when he's full and falls asleep, and I'm going to do the deed. And interesting thing happens during that moment as I'm planning. I say a little prayer. And the prayer was just simple. Lord, help me to be sane enough to get home and do the deed.
Yes.
You know this is the right thing to do. Just get me home. That's all I'm asking for. And at that moment, I realized that I was panicky. So in order for me to just calm down, I said that prayer. Then I decided after amen to switch on the radio. On that day, SAFM happens to be talking about talking to women who are in prison for killing their husbands. That for me was an instant answer.
and we thought, say miracles don't happen.
And I thought, God, you're talking to me. You're saying something. Let me follow through in what you are saying. I then drove to church. Get to church. My pastor says, I am not a medical doctor, nor am I a scientist, but I've got a book that I know will speak to your challenge right now. And in this book, God says he loves you unconditionally. And that's all I needed to hear at the time. Look at God's love so many years later.
Could you say that was the beginning of the journey towards healing?
That was a defining moment indeed. Because what he, without realizing what he did, was to say it's okay to go back to God and ask. Now that you've allowed this circumstance to happen, where to from here? Let me walk in your shadow. Let me walk in your light. Let me walk your way as we figure out why you allowed this to happen. Because oftentimes when we're faced with challenges, you then want to use your intelligence in walking through the challenge.
And we want to solve those problems on our own. In as much as we trust in God, we think, let's solve these problems
but
on our
own. But believing without action is one of those fruitless exercises.
I don't want to dwell too much on this, because I think this is not the only aspect in your life we're going to dwell on this afternoon. But did you not ask yourself, why me?
I was upset.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things that I said to God that I had to ask for forgiveness because I didn't know any better at the time. And the more
did you not blame your partner at the time?
No, I wanted to kill him, remember?
Yes.
Because with HIV, we socialized in a way that says it's somebody else's fault. It's never about me.
Exactly.
But in me now seeking healing and seeking closure, I've had to own the fact that when he said, I love you, you're the best thing that ever happened to me,
ding dong, ding dong.
And I did not say, what is your HIV status? I said yes.
But should he have not disclosed that? Should he have not disclosed?
He should have. And should have, could have.
At this stage, Agaza,
bottom line is he didn't, and I've had to also look at what role did I play for him not to trust me enough to tell me his status, because I then got to discover that he had been taking antiretrovirals for the past 10 years before we met. But I had to look at me. Each time he brings an HIV-related conversation, I was one of those who would be like, why would you want to talk about something that dirty?
And by the way,
it was for them. It was never about me.
Of course. And by the way, you're a nurse by profession. You trained as a nurse.
Of course.
And you were like, this thing does not affect Rona, who went to school. You people who live in the affluent suburbs.
Yeah.
You are happily married.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
it can never happen to them.
It happens elokshine David.
Elokshine David to people who are promiscuous, who make wrong decisions. We always focus on the perpetrator and never the victim. Because in you being promiscuous, somebody else is going to be infected or affected. And in our messaging, we only focus on the one who spreads the virus.
And we don't take responsibility.
We don't take responsibility. So I've had to go back to the drawing board and say, I should have asked. I didn't. I should have insisted on knowing his status. I didn't. The responsibility in the choice that I made is to live with the news.
And it's always, and I like the part that you're saying, it's very easy for us to blame people, yeah. Oh, so-and-so infected me or did this. But it's our responsibility to ask.
That's it.
And to even verify.
My health is my responsibility.
My sexual.
My happiness is my responsibility. Yeah.
Wow. It's 29 minutes after the hour 4. Radio Veritas 576 AM is where you at. It's Changing Gear with me, Father Brian, and I'm getting up close and personal with Criselda Dudumashe. She is our pride for the week. In case you've just tuned in, do not touch that towel. We're going to pay the bills.